Precious Marina, actually. So I'm very honoured to be asked to come again to do an encore. I've chosen today a completely different topic to last week, although being a topic which everybody knows the story of, there may be lessons which will be interesting to discuss, particularly in relation to Elul and Tishri. And I'm choosing the third chapter of Daniel, which tells us the story about the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar made, and the three Jewish men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who refused to bow down to it and were thrown into a fiery furnace. So the story we know, but we're going to look at the text. It's not a very easy Hebrew, in fact it's more like Aramaic, but we'll skim through it, and then we'll see what lessons are to be drawn, what questions come up from it. So Perek Gimel, you've got there about 10 or 12 lines down, you've got a Gimel in the margin, and it starts with Nebuchadnezzar Malko. Nebuchadnezzar the king, Avad Tzelem Di Dahav. He made an image of gold, Rumei Amin Shitin Pesoye Amin Shis. Its height was 60 cubits, its width was 6 cubits. Akime the Bikas Dura the Medinas Bovel, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, the capital city of Bovel. His intention in making this image was because in the previous chapter he had had a dream which Daniel had interpreted to show that the Jewish people would reign supreme one day, and he was planning at this time to destroy the temple. Already many Jews he had brought out from the land of Israel into Bovel, and he was therefore thinking that if he can do something which the Jews will do something they shouldn't do, then that will destroy them spiritually and get rid of them. So base Nebuchadnezzar Malka Shalach. So Nebuchadnezzar sent Lemichnash Laachashtar Panyo Signayo Ufachavoso Adar Goz Rayo. I need some reading lessons myself. He sent to gather the various officials, prefects, governors, judges, Godavarayo, treasurers, the Sofarayo, the councillors, Tiftayo, sheriffs, Vachoshil Tonimidinosa, all the officers of the capital cities, that they should come, Lemese, Lechanukas Tzalmon. He made a special consecration service to the dedication of this image, Dihekei Nebuchadnezzar Malko, that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was an image of himself. It wasn't actually an idol in the usual idolatrous sense of the word. It was a representation of himself. Gimel. Beidayin miskanshin achashtar penoyo signayo fachosova adar goz rayo. So all these various officials came, God of Rayo, the Sovrayo, Tiftoyo, the Chol Shal Tenevidinosa, all the officers of the realm, the Chanukas Salmo, to the consecration service of this image, the Hakem Nebuchadnezzar Malka, which he was setting up, the Komin, the Kobel Tzamo, the Hakem Nebuchadnezzar, and they were standing opposite the image which he had set up. The Charozo, Korei Bechoil, and an announcement was issued aloud, Lechon, to you, Omrin Amamaya, to the peoples, Umaya Lashamaya, of all nations and tongues, we are saying, Boidono di Sishmun Kol Karno, at the time when you hear the sound of whistling horn, and then there are various musical instruments which it lists here, Mashro Kiso, Kasro Sabcho, Basantarin Sumponio, look at the phonetics of that word, symphony, Bakozane Zamoro, the chord, harp, psaltery, the symphonia is usually translated as bagpipes, though I don't think there were many people around at the time. The chols and ezamora, all kinds of music, tiflun, then you shall fall, v'tiskadun, and you shall bow down, letzelem, to the golden, zahavo, to the golden image, tihakem Nebuchadnezzar Malka, which the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Umandi lo yipel the yiskud, and whoever does not bow down and prostrate himself, well, there's a nice surprise for them. They will be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. Kokavel Zanot Bei Zimnot, in view of this at that time, Zimnot Zkedi Shom'im Kol Amamaya, when all the people heard the sound of, and now we list again, Kol Karno, Mashro Kiso, Kasros Sabcho, Pasamterin, doesn't actually list here Sumponio, the Chosene Zemora, all these kinds of music, Noflin, Kol Amamaya, Omaya, Lishnot, Sogin Aselim. So, at the sound, all the peoples, nations, and tongues would bow down to the golden image, Dihokei Nebuchadnezzar Malko, which he had set up. Mesudas David says that the reason why the bagpipes were missed out, because they were really musical, so he thought, if people would decline to bow down the first time round, then when he would play the music again with the extra sound of the bagpipes, then that will tempt them to bow down to the image. We're talking about the story of Hanani Mishol and Azariah and the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar set up with a fiery furnace for those who don't bow down to it. So we're now on Posuk Ches. Kol kavel zanot beizimno karivu guvrin kastoin. So in view of this at that time, there were some of these Chaldean men who approached, and they were denouncing the Jews. They were sneaking, because it wasn't readily apparent that Jews were not present at this mass assembly, but there were the sneaks. Es, Amer v'Omrin Nebuchadnezzar, they spoke up and they said to him, Nechasa Malko, Malko la'omin chayi, may the king live forever. Yud, Ant Malko, Samto Te'ein, Dikol Enosh Di, Yishma, Kol, Karno. They say to him, you, O king, gave an order, anyone who hears the sound of the whistling horn, and then the other instruments, Ashra Kiso, Kasro, Sabcho, Pasanteirin, Vesep, Onio, Vecholtene, Zomra, and all these kinds of music, Yipol, Yisko, Vesander, Havel, shall bow down, fall and bow down to the golden image. Yud Aleph, Umanzi lo yipel yiskud, and whoever doesn't bow down, Yisramei lego atu nuro yokidato, shall be cast into the fiery furnace. Isai guvrin yudoin, there are Judahite men, yudoin, Jewish people, dimaniso. Now that you appointed them, Yosan al avidas medinas bovel, that you appointed them to serve over bovel, what happened was, when Nebuchadnezzar brought out from Israel into Golus already before he actually destroyed the temple, he appointed three officers for each ethnic minority, you might say, and he appointed Hanani Mishol Azariah, as well as Doniel, who was also one of the Machers, to administer the affairs of the Jewish community. And so they were working as his civil servants. But they weren't there. So they are sneaking to him about the absence of Hanani Mishol and Azariah. In fact, their names are given here in Posuk Yud Beis as different names. They were called, probably because that was their Greek form, Shadrach, Meshach, Va'aved Nego. Those are the three men. Guvrayo Ileich, these men, Lo Samo Aleich, Malkot, Eim Lo Lohoich, they did not take counsel to follow your decree. Lo Polchin or Letzelem Dahavon, they didn't bow down to your golden image, to follow your decree that they should bow down, and you set up this decree. Yud Gimel, they died in Nebuchadnezzar Birgaz, Vachamo Amar Lahayosoya Lashadrach Meshach Vaved Nego. It's not the sort of Hebrew we're used to, but Nebuchadnezzar, in his wrath and his anger, he ordered to bring these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Mishol Azariah, and they were brought before the king. Yud Dalad, Onay Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke out, but Omar, and he said lahom to them, Hatzto Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Is my decree meaningless, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Le'elohoi, to my God, lo eith, that you don't worship my God. Note that he calls it my God. That you do not prostrate yourself to the golden image that I've set up. Now, behold, you're destined. Asidin di voidono di sishmun kol karno. Mashre Kisa, Kasros, Sabcho. So you hold that when you hear now, it lists again, he lists again the various musical instruments, Vasanterin, Vasumponio, Vachozine Zomra. When you hear all the musical instruments, Tiplun, you shall fall down the Tiskudun and you shall prostrate yourselves, Let Salmo the Avdas, to the image that I have made, Vahain Lo Sigdugun. And if you don't, Siskudun, if you don't bow down, Vashato, at that correct time, Sishramun Lego Atsunuro Yokidato, you shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace, Umanu Elo Di Yeshez Vinchon Min Yodai. And who is a God who would save you from my hand? Well, they answered quite boldly, Posetesaim, Ano, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these three men, Va'omrin Lamalko, and they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, Lo Hash Chin Anachno Al Duno Hiskom Lahasavusach. We don't care to answer you about this matter. Hein Isai Elohono. There is a God, the Anachno Holchin, whom we worship. Yochil Leshe Zovusono. He can save us. Minatunura Yokidato Minyadoch Malko Yeshaziv. From the burning fiery furnace from your hands, he will save us. Yudches. Vehein lo yodia. Levei loch malka. And if not, let it be known to you, O king. Di lelohoich lo isono polchin o letzelem dahavo. Di hekim to lo niskod. We are making it known to you. We will not worship your God. We will not bow down to this golden image that you have set up. Well, he got very angry about this. Beidain Nebuchadnezzar Hismili Chemo Utsalem and Pari Eshtani Al Shadrach Meshach Vavein Nego. So he got very angry and the features of his face changed against these three men. Omega Omar Lemeze La'atuno, and he shouted and ordered La'atuno Chad Shiva Al Dichazei Lemeze, that the fiery furnace should be heated seven times as much as it was heated already. Because maybe he thought, if God is on their side, okay, he'll save them from an ordinary fire, but he wouldn't save them from one which is seven times as hot. But a good ring Gibor Echael, and he commanded some mighty men, Divachaile and his army, Omar Lachaposo, to bind them, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three men, the Mirmal Atzenura Yokito. Now they had refused to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. That they were bound, they were dressed, of course, in their cloaks. They were dressed in their trousers, their robes, and their other garments. And they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. And since, in view of this, the word of the king was urgent, the furnace was heated excessively. These men who brought up Shadrach, Meshach, Go were killed in the spark of fire. So those soldiers of the army who actually took the three men to the fiery furnace, they themselves died from the heat of the furnace. However, what happened to our three heroes? The Gavraya Ileich Laseha. And these three men, namely Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nefalu Lego Atzunura Yokidato Mechapsin, they went into the burning fiery furnace bound up, Erdayin Nebuchadnezzar Malko. And Nebuchadnezzar was bewildered. Tzvava kom behispoholo. He stood up in haste. Oneva Omar, he shouted and he said, Lahadovrohi, to his leaders, Halo Gurin Telosa Remeno Lego Nura Mechapsin. Didn't I cast these three men into this fiery furnace bound up? Onayin Omrin Malko Yatzivo Malko. And they said, yes, sir, your majesty, the king, it is true. They were bound. Onev Omar, he called out again and he said, behold, I can see Gubrin Arbashirayin Malkin Begonura. I can see four men walking freely in the midst of this fire, the Gonora, the Chavod Lo Yisai Behom, and there was no wound upon them. The Revei Di Revior Dilmei Levarinoin, and the form of the fourth man is like that of an angel. This was the angel Gabriel who came to protect them.
Is Daniel
the most material? No. Daniel conveniently absented himself from the whole episode, that when this decree came about, he slipped out of town, basically. We'll discuss that in a moment from the Medrash. Because sometimes it's good to play a low profile in these matters and just avoid the whole of escapade. But it's a question which arises both with Hanan and Meshul Azar, and also in the story of Mordechai, who refused to bow down to Haman. He went out of his way to be at the palace gate. He didn't just lie low like the others did. So he saw this fourth image like that of an angel, Pasuk Kafvov. I know that the Hebrew sounds a bit tricky, but it's Aramaic, yeah, it's not Hebrew, thank you. But we'll go through it, and then we've got the time to discuss this from the Medrash. Pasuk 26, Vaydayin Karev Nebuchadnezzar. So when he approached the gate, Yisrael Atzon Nuro Yokidato Aneva Omar, he approached the gate of the burning fiery furnace, and he shouted, and he said, he called their names, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Avdohi Dialoi Yoyo Huku Veso. The servants of the Most High God, he recognized this was an ace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, step out and come. Well, they weren't going to come out until he told them to, otherwise they'd be disobeying the king. So they waited till he told them to come out. Beidai Nofkin Shadrach Meshach Ravid Nego Min Go Nuro. Step out and come. And so Shadrach Meshach and Nego came out from the midst of the fire. Umis Kanshin Achashtab Yo Nayov Achavosov Adovrei Malko. And all the officials, the prefects, the governors, and the leaders of the king, Chazayin Leguvrayo, Ileich, they came and they saw these men coming. Zilosh Ileich Nuro, the fire had not had any effect to the Geshmahon on their bodies. Usa'arish Hon Ro His Chorach, Usabaleho Lo Lo Shemo, and the hair of the heads wasn't even singed, their robes had not changed, Mareach Nur Lo Dos Behon. And the smell of fire was not absorbed by them at all. No hint whatsoever of them having been in the fire. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar Omar. Nebuchadnezzar cried out and said, Berich Elohim di Shadrach Meshach Avid Nego. Blessed be the God of Shadrach Meshach and Avid Nego. Di Shalach Malachim Veshizev La'avdohi di Hisrachitsu Alohi, who sent his angel, rescued his servants, trusted in Milas Malko Shani Vihav Gesh Hon, and they risked their lives in order not to Yiflechu, not to worship, Lo Yiskudu, not to bow down, Lo Hein, Lo Lehon, in order that they will not bow down to any god except their own god. And here you see a big Rasha. He's the Rasha who destroyed the basic dosh, and yet, like Paro, he is Moda. This is a nace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in order to be issued by me that any people, any nation, anyone that speaks amiss against their God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they will be torn from limb to limb if they should abuse them. And it's how they'll be made into a dung heap, because there's no other god who can save anyone in this manner. And so he gave them the honours, that's Pasuk 30 and so on, and he remarks about how great the signs were which Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu has done, Pasuk 32, the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done with me, it's beyond my words to actually recite. Asari Kamal Rabin, how great are his signs, his smoey and his wonders, Kamal Sakifin, Malchusei Machus Alam Shaltanayim Dar Dar. Great, his kingdom is an eternal kingdom, the Olam Void, his dominion is with every generation. Well, we knew the story, we've now done the Pesukim of Pasuk Gimel. I'm now going to turn to the Midrash Rabbah. But the Midrash Rabbah isn't on Daniel. I'm sorry I haven't got handouts on this, but I'll read out as best as I can. It's in Shir HaShirim Rabbah. And there in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, he talks in a bit more amplified manner about what happened. that he chose three from every ethnic minority. He put up this image, the Hifrish, and he separated three men, given the colour of an Ummah, and three from Yisrael. So what happened? Hanani, Mishael, and Azaria, Shehayu, Ashlosha, they were the three. Omdu, Michal, Atzmon, loved Avodah Zarah. They were one of the pure people from Yisrael who had never worshipped Avodah Zarah. But they got a bit worried. They thought, you know, we got to do this. They had really a shaila to ask. And their shaila was, well, it's not really Avodah Zarah. It's not another god. It's an image of the king. So they were not sure, but they wanted to refuse to bow down, but they were unsure of the consequences. They didn't want to lose their lives if they could get away with it. So Hokulam Eitzel Daniel, they went for advice to Daniel, who the Farshim said already gone into hiding. Omrule, Rabbeinu Daniel, they said to him, Nebuchadnezzar Mitzelem, Hifrish Mikal Umar Vumar Shalashah. So he've selected three, Velonu Hifrish, and we are the chosen ones, we call Yisrael. Marta Ovelonu, Nisko Great Alone, should we bow down or not? Omalahem, V'nei Novi Niflechem, look at that slow, listen, the Novi Yecheskel's here, he's in town, why don't you go and ask him? Authority when you go. So it wasn't simply passing the buck. Who better can you get than Yecheskel? Holcholem Yada Yitzel Yecheskel.
Well, being a civil servant,
yes, he was the senior civil servant. Some say he was called a Novi, some say he wasn't really a Novi. He was more of an emissary. When he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, he was doing so as a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he wasn't actually on the same degree of Nebuah as Yechezkel.
Was he a leader of the people?
He was an ambassador, yes. But Yechezkel was the Novi who was there to warn people about things to come. So they went. Holcholem miyad eitzel Yechezkel. Omru leikim Hashem l'Daniel. This goes out loud. They asked the same shaila. Omru mekvam mekubal anim Yeshayah. He said, listen, my Rebbe Yeshayah said, and he quotes from Yeshayah Kafor, avikimat rega ad yavo zoan. Lie low when there's trouble until the trouble passes. Try and just keep a low profile. That's the best thing to do if you can, and then you won't bow down and you'll save your lives. They weren't very happy with this answer. Omule, ma at boy dihon omrin hadin salmos sagdin leikol umyo. Look, every people of the nations are going to be bowing down, and we're not going to be bowing down. He said, well, what choice? What are you talking about? Maybe if there's some pagam, some blemish about the image, we might have an excuse. We don't bow down. And then people are going to say, every nation has bowed down except Israel, that we basically want to do a Kiddush Hashem. We want to stand up for our rights and demonstrate the holiness of God and our people. Omalehem, he said, well, in kidatchem, if that's what you feel like, hamtinu li ad shem lach begvura. Hold on a minute, and I'll get in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. They were basically saying to him, look, you know, do we do it? And if so, will everything be alright? And he's saying, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in Yecheskel, v'ayvavay la'an noshim zikne Yisrael v'yeshuvu lefonach. And they were Chanan and Mishael Azara. Omar Nitzni HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yechezkel says to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Chanan and Mishael Azara Mevakshim, Litzei Nafshom Al Kedushas Shemecha. They are considering and seeking to give up their lives to sanctify your name. Miskai Mataleyen Olo. Will you look after them or won't you? Omale, Hashem said to him, Aini miskayim aleihem. I'm very sorry. I will not look after them. Hodef siv, ben adam davi abin Yisrael, amat aleihem, kamo Hashem elokim, anadosh asi atoy me'acha, shegramti l'achliv beisi. You are coming to me now, says Hashem, asking me for a favor. when I'm about to destroy the temple, v'lishrof heicholi, to burn the heichal, because my people are not listening to what they're supposed to be doing. They're involved in idolatry. Legolas b'nei l'vein rumus. I'm about to put them all into exile. And then afterwards you come to me and ask me for such favors. How on earth, by my life, Hashem would be saying, can I consider such a thing? He started crying, Yecheskel, that Hashem said, I'm sorry, I am not going to help these men. Look at the state of Klal Yisrael. I'm not in a position to make any miracles. And Yecheskel cried, Vayelos in Yisrael, Ayivay, the haters of Israel are now gaining ground. And who is there left from Yehuda except these three poor people? As it says in Daniel, Vayibam, Ne'edu, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. So the answer came back. He went back to Daniel, and Daniel went back to these three men. What did Hashem say? Hashem said he's not going to look after you. Well, that came as a bit of a shock. You know, Hashem doesn't look after us.
But they were prepared to bow down. This is the issue, isn't it?
No.
At this moment in time, as far as the story is going,
well,
there are certain things you can bow down to if they're not.
We're not told that they were thinking of not bowing down if Hashem wouldn't look after them. The commentaries say their shaila was, are we allowed to bow down? Because it's an image and it's not pure Avodah Zarah. And when they were told to lie low, they said, well, we would like to make a Kiddush Hashem, and we would like to stand up and not bow down. But we would like some sort of reassurance. After the news was told to them that the words of Hashem to the Novi were that they would not be saved, Amrulo, they said to Daniel, we don't care. Well, Hashem does help us survive or not, we will give up our lives to sanctify His name. Well, that's the story, basically. So the Midrash tells us a little bit more than the text in Daniel does. A new dimension. What was behind this, going behind the scenes? Well, the main question, the real question that I've got, isn't, were they doing Avodah Zarah, weren't they doing Avodah Zarah, did they intend to bow down, didn't they intend to bow down? I find there a much more burning question from this Medrash. Hashem said, I will not save them. Hashem is MS. Hashem is MS, Torah is MS, Hashem tells the truth. Was Hashem telling something which was not the truth? Hashem did save them. How can God say, I'm not going to save them, when in the end, He does save them? That, for me, is the burning question. Well, the circumstance is exactly the same. You mean, at the time when the Shaila was asked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they weren't quite yet in the Nisayon?
Not in that.
But had they then been in the position, then they wouldn't have been saved. And maybe only afterwards, when they made a resolution, after they were told, yeah, very interesting point. Yeah.
There's something wrong with them. Originally, they were asking whether they could actually bow down. So therefore, they had in their minds, perhaps they wouldn't know if it would be words or not. So the answer to that was, well, you know, if you check your mindset, now you're not going to be saved. Also,
if you're not sure, then I'm not going to save you.
Yes. But if afterwards they were determined to do their Kiddush Hashem, then the whole situation changed.
Then the situation changed. Okay, I think that is a valid answer, but the Torah does say Midvash Sheker Tirchak, which means not only do you refrain from telling lies, but you distance yourself from anything which might be construed as being a falsehood. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself could have simply said, look, I'm not going to give you an answer. He could have remained silent, as he had done on other occasions. when he would say, you know, don't ask me this question anymore, like he said to Moshe Rabbeinu about going into Eretz Yisrael. Just keep quiet, please. What he was doing was just declining an answer. He was giving what maybe is said to be a misleading answer. And therefore, I think the question still arises as to what was actually going on. I will try and answer this with talking about a number of different halachas about the subject of what is emes really is. How do we define the word emes, truth? The Gemara says, and it's brought down to halacha, that if you are asked something and it could result in a machlokas, then you are allowed to distort the truth. Mutala shanos, which doesn't quite mean that you may tell a lie, you may change facts. It once happened to me where somebody came to me where I had known both sides from a broken engagement. And the young man came to me and he said, I want you to give these presents back to my former fiancée. And I want you to tell her such and such things, which were not very nice things. Because he knew that I had contact with her because she was a relation of mine. And I thought to myself, if I give this message, it will result in real hatred. So I went and asked the Shaila, and I was told by a leading Rav, you do not give back those presents, and you do not pass on that message, because it will cause sinas chinom. And what's more, he said to me, is that when he afterwards comes to you and asks you, did you do what I asked you to do, don't give back the presents, because then he'll give them to somebody else to give back. You just tell him, yes, I gave the presents. And if he says, did you pass on the message, you say, yes. And that's it. What's going on here? We know that Yaakov Avinu said, Onochi Esav Becharecho. Yaakov Avinu, who stood for the middle of MS. And it's not just Darkei Sholem. There are certain times in Halacha when you don't say the facts. And there are a number of other examples given in the Gemara. One is, if you've been eating out at a very generous, hospitable host, Achsanyo, and people ask you afterwards, how was the meal? You are not allowed to say, oh, it was fantastic, he served this and he served that, it was the best meal I've ever had. Because otherwise other people will start queuing up at the door and the poor fellow will be out of pocket. Similarly, if somebody asks you, have you learnt the whole of Masecht Kiddushin? Even if you've learnt the whole of Masecht Kiddushin, you are allowed to say no, because it's immodest of you to say, yes, I learnt it. You can't have learnt everything, you can't know it really inside out. You're allowed to say, I didn't learn it. Oh, if somebody asks you a question about the Gemara, Al Tagam Game of the Tomarlo, don't stutter and answer the question, but you're not allowed to say, I have learnt the whole of the Gemara. Similarly, when it comes to tzinius, if people ask personal, intrusive questions to a husband and wife about their private married life, they don't have to give answers. They can change the truth because of tzinius. There are other incidents in halacha. Mitzvah lahagid kalo, shino v'chasudo. It's a mitzvah to tell a bride that she is beautiful. So the Gemara asks, Nu, what if she's not beautiful? Alright, you might dress up any broomstick with beautiful white and it'll look beautiful. But the Gemara struggles with this and says, well, maybe there's some beautiful virtue about her which is nice and therefore you're not really telling a lie. But the fact of the matter is, if she's an ugly woman, you're lying. But it's a mitzvah to tell her, not just allowed to tell her, but a mitzvah to tell her that she looks beautiful. I once said this in a shir a very long time ago. This inyan about telling a kala that she's not a chasuda, and I ended up going to that kala's wedding, and I said, you look fabulous. And she said to me, you liar. It was your sister-in-law.
I've always been saying that.
There's another incident in halacha. It says in halacha, mitzvah, when you greet somebody, you should do so b'seva panin yachos, with a very cheerful smile, a cheerful countenance. What if you don't like the fellow? What if you can't stand his guts? Well, you shouldn't hate anybody, but if you dislike him, it's still the right thing to do, to greet him and to smile to him, hello, how are you, as if you like him. Isn't that Shekhem? That's the halacha. Says the Meiri in Pekei Avos that the mitzvah of chesed is so great, of being kind to other people, that's why you do it. So the mitzvah of chesed is so great that it breaks the boundaries of emes and shekhem. What's the bottom line from all this? Let's say we don't have the Torah. Let's say, chas v'shalom, we don't have it, we don't have halacha. And somebody says, I know what virtue is, I am very truthful. That person, through his own human logic, will not be performing the ideal. Because there are times when you should not be saying the truth, because of those instances I've just described. So we need the Torah to guide us. That's what halacha is for. Because human logic is not always enough to determine between good and bad, between what is moral and what is not immoral. We need the halacha to direct us. And that's why the halacha tells us, Darkei Shalom, Achsanya, Masechta, Tznusa, all these other examples, that is what we say is the halacha. What is the chiddush which comes out of this? That really, if you're doing what you're meant to be doing, and the Torah is emes, then when you're giving those answers, that is the emes. Now there is another school of thought. The other school of thought is, in the ideal world, you should be saying the pure truth, and there will come a time, this Zman Mashiach, when we will say this pure truth. But nowadays, we have circumstances where you have to change things a little bit. Mutar l'shanos. That's one mahalech. But there is another mahalech. And the way I'm approaching it is primarily the way Rav Dessler approaches it in the Ikhtom Eliyahu. But when the Torah tells you, you should change the facts, that is emes, because that's the Rotzan Hashem. That's what the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And you have to do what the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Now we can come back to our question about the Medrash. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I will not save them? Okay, you gave a very valid answer. That at that moment in time, if they would have been in that Nisar, he wouldn't have saved them. But afterwards they said, we are going to stand up and make a Kiddush Hashem. Ah, Hashem said circumstances. Okay. But I would like to offer a different answer. That Hashem saying, Eini Miskayim Aleihem, he knew that if he says any hint that he will save them, he will be taking away their Bechira. He will be removing their free will. If he says, yeah, yeah, don't worry, I'll look after them. Oh, great, go on, Hashem's looking after us. Then they wouldn't even get the schar. The whole purpose of being created in this world, the whole purpose that we are all here in this world, is to exercise bechira, free will. And God would have been taking away the whole function of the world had he said he will save them. He could have said, I'm not going to ask. Okay. But the schar in Bechira was even greater by saying Eini Miskayim Aleihem, because that showed their really pure intention to give up their lives completely, Al Kiddush Hashem. That was their motive. And that's what prompted them to say, we will die for him. And for that Hashem would give them the right, the best schar. And that is Bechira. So Hashem, in the circumstances of Ratzon Hashem and Bechira in the world, felt it necessary to say, Eini Miskayim Aleihem, otherwise Bechira would have been removed and the whole function of the world would have been misplaced. And that's why Hashem gave that answer. Now, what lesson can we then draw from this, when it comes to Elul Yomim Maroim, is to submerge ourselves into what is Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants us to do His will, and Hashem Elokecha Hashem Emoch, Ki Miniras Hashem, to fear Him and to do what is right. And so this piece of Medrash is a good one to reflect on when it comes to the Yomim Maroim, because it demonstrates how we should be towards our attitudes to Hashem, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And with that sort of motive, we are doing Teshuvah. And they were representing Klal Yisrael, who were rather in a state of sin at that time. We are representing Klal Yisrael. But there's another message which comes from this as well for the Yomim Noroim. They didn't know what the future would bring. They had no idea what would happen to them when they take this step. We, in a way, are even more fortunate. Because we are told that if your teshuvah is sincere, if your teshuvah is such that you really, really give yourself towards Hashem completely, then you are guaranteed a clean slate afterwards. It's written in the Mishnah Berurah that if we greet each other nicely, Yom Naroim Basimcha, what are we so happy about? Shouldn't we be worried? It's Yom Adin. We dress in nice clothes. We eat nice food on Rosh Hashanah. What's going on here? Aren't we nervous? We're doing so in the confidence that we know what will happen in the future. Because if we sincerely devote ourselves in teshuva and in tefillah and in tzedakah, we will be ma'avir in esroa ha'gezeirah. And what better? So we got a better deal in way. We got a better deal that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were having. Because they did not know what the future would bring. What did they do? They did a kal v'chomer. They thought, if the frogs in the plague, the second plague in Egypt, give themselves up to do the Ratzon Hashem, and frogs, well, do they have bechira? I've heard of one opinion that the frogs had bechira, otherwise why should they be rewarded to do what they did? But whatever they had is not the kind of free will which human beings have. The frogs gave themselves up to go into the ovens in the heat and the dryness, which is completely against their nature. They made a kal v'chomer. How much more so we should do something to serve Hashem with all our souls and with all our might. And that lesson is perhaps very important for us now as we enter the Yom Naroi, to reflect upon that we can have that courage and that confidence, because we know that if our teshuvah is sincere, we'll come out of it very clean. Aksiyah v'chsimah tovah. Kol tov.